to our mini-series on being a global researcher. Today I'm talking to Darius about his experience of working internationally. Darius, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, thanks Katie for giving me this opportunity to talk here. And my name is Darius Köster. I'm an assistant professor at the Roig Medical School in the Division of Biomedical Sciences. And I'm a biophysicist interested in the mechanics of the cell surface.
Brilliant, thank you. So would you like to tell us a little bit about your history, your career path so far?
So my research career and my traveling, they're sort of connected, and maybe they even fed into each other. But so from the thematically, I started first studying physics, pure physics, and that was at the University of Leipzig in Germany, which was already a little travel from my hometown, which was Berlin in Germany. But so I traveled for study. And then after the master's, I moved to Paris in France at the Institut Curie to do my PhD there. And that was towards biophysics. I started to understand the mechanics of the cell surface. And I studied there from 2007 to 2010. And after completing my PhD, I joined a lab at the National Center for Biological Sciences in Bangalore in India. I joined the lab of Satyajit Mayer, who's a cell biologist, a pure cell biologist, and who was keen to work with someone with a more physics background, which was a wonderful environment to sort of combine physics and biology. And then in 2017, I decided to return to Europe, and I found the Warwick Medical School, a wonderful place there, the Center for Mechanochemical Cell Biology, where there's a group of scientists who sort of share my enthusiasm to combine physics and biology. And so that's where I found my current place to work and to set up my own group.
So that sounds like you've had a really exciting global research career so far. What do you think has been the best part?
Yeah, so one of the best parts, I think, is that you're setting up a network of friends that are spanning the whole world. So it's often now happening that no matter where you go, you somehow bump into someone that you crossed and met. And I have to say, at least my research community is also extremely global. So it's not necessarily only one person who travels from one place to the other, but it turns out that there are people are crossing paths. And so having this rather like broad network is already a very nice thing, very nice feature. And then I think another really good part is just to be able to understand and experience different research cultures, different experiences. I mean, not even only research culture, but also cultures in general, like different ways of life, different natures, different cities. So I really enjoyed it.
That sounds really exciting, being able to sample different cultures, different communities. You said that one of the important research skills that you've developed is networking. What other research skills do you think you've gained as a result of being a global researcher?
Well, I mean, it is the way I chose my destinations also partly on the things that I could do there. So it was really, I had an idea what I wanted to do and what type of skills I wanted to learn, particular techniques, particular research environments. And so this was an important. So I went, for example, to India because I knew the lab from some publications, but I knew also they are specialists in a very particular technique, fluorescence anisotropy techniques. It's very specialized microscopy technique. There are very few places can master it. And I was just curious to really learn that because I thought that would be very helpful for my future research. So I think in traveling, this was always also a big part of the decision process to find out what is a good place to learn something new.
So new skills, new techniques that you couldn't find in other places. going and searching for universities and employers who will be able to help you to learn these new skills.
Exactly.
So you've already talked about some of the benefits of moving country in terms of learning about different cultures, living with different countries, living in different countries. But what were the benefits for you in moving around, being a mobile researcher, being a global researcher, and moving country?
Yeah, so benefits were definitely to just explore the world. I mean, I'm also extremely curious to find out how is it looking in different countries. I mean, my very first move was basically to improve my French first. And then it turned out I found a really good lab, and it was an exciting, very unique research project. And additional benefits, yeah, I mean, understanding that research is not only happening in a single lab, but it is a global endeavor. And particularly, I mean, in my field, like biophysics, cell biology, it is an extremely welcoming and open community. And that's very nice to experience physically. You can be wherever you want to be and you find a lab and you'll have something to talk about and you will be welcomed and you will be sort of understood. So there's a common, common thriving community to sort of join forces and to just understand our life better, which is, I think, quite exciting. It's sometimes even surprising to see how similar problems are in different places on the earth, and everybody has a problem with the administration, even though it is often very different types of issues. And in a way, maybe it's even interesting to see how differently weird some administrative regulations can be in different places. But on a kind of scientific note, it's just sometimes also very interesting to see different ways how to come to a solution. So just practicality wise, because of certain limitations in places to have access to certain types of tools, that they just come up with a different idea, and it just opens also for yourself a different perspective to see, okay, it's not only this one way we can solve or we can measure a certain property. There's like other ways, and there may be simpler ways to do it, and so on and so forth. So I think this is always again and again surprising and new and interesting. For example, once we were then invited to set up a kind of 2-week workshop in a lab in the US. This is sort of a very famous kind of it's called the physiology course at the marine biology lab in Woods Hole. And what happens there is they give you more or less just a lab space. So it's just a bench, and then they ask you, what do you need? And then you have to start and think from scratch, okay, what are all the tiny equipments that you need to set up your experiments? And it can be so that, and then you come there and then everything is there already. So it was a nice surprise and nice experience to sort of travel and just try to set up shop thousands of miles away, more or less remotely first, and then come there and having like a few days to set up everything. That was quite exciting. Yeah.
It sounds really exciting to be able to almost be quite prescriptive about what you want, and knowing that when you get there, it will all be there.
Perhaps, yeah, a challenge. I mean,
What were the challenges? Were there any difficulties in that kind of remote setting up aspect for you?
Yeah, I mean, particularly you have to first think, okay, what all do I actually need? And then you realize all the tiny little things that you take for granted because they were there in the lab already. And then you realize, wait, we need also these type of screws or these type of tweezers and so on and so forth. So that was in a way also very helpful then later for me when I had to set up my own lab, because I had already a much better idea what are all the small tiny bits that you need to ensure that you have a running laboratory. So
was there anything that you'd forgotten to add and realized that it was really important? What was the one thing that you wished you'd asked for sooner?
Oh, actually, it's difficult to I can't remember any big mistake or anything big that I forgot. But the other thing is that, you know, also there's a community. So in a way, nearly any time, if you then ask around and you will find some other colleague who's nearby, and then they're very happy to send stuff. And so this helpfulness is there as well, because I think many people know this kind of experience, at least in our community. So that's maybe the other nice surprise, to see how helpful the community can be.
Sounds a really lovely community to be part of, knowing that if you have forgotten something, somebody will be there to help you out. Fantastic. So in terms of this global research and the global approach that you've been taking, what one thing would you give, or one piece of advice would you give your former self in terms of being a global researcher?
So one very important piece of advice that is sort of important when you do this, when you take this decision to move, is really to take us the time to find out, is it the right environment? Is it the right supervisors to work with? Because that is nearly more important than where you are at the end, because you're always in this direct interaction. So it has to be, and you have to take into account, is this really the place I want to go to? I mean, is this also fitting in terms of personal, could say, philosophy, personal way how you think and what kind of society you want to live? So one example, and for I know it, at least in my science field, it is very common, you do your PhD in Europe and then you move to the US for a postdoc and then you move back and maybe open your lab. For me, the US was sort of always a bit critical, because I couldn't really imagine to live in that type of society, because it's maybe much more sort of competitive driven and so on. So I thought, okay, everybody goes there. So that's why I decided to go elsewhere, and it works. I mean, you can find fantastic labs also elsewhere. It's maybe fewer places at a lower density than in the US, but you can find them, and turned out to be very good for me. Yeah.
So almost to not be afraid to look outside of
but you have to be also clear that this is a commitment, and this is sort of, it is maybe, you might face differences in being accepting different type of life standards for some time, or different types of, yeah, how quiet, or how, I mean, in case of Bangalore, for example, it's also a question of how quiet the streets and the shops are, because of course there are much more people on the street and it's much more buzzing, but that's something I like a lot. So for me, it was clear. For other people, it might be better to go to a quieter place, to a smaller place. Or if nature is important for them, that they go also somewhere where they know they can easily access nature. So I think this is just something worth taking into account as well, because you are not spending your whole life in the lab and you need also that life outside. So yeah. For research career, I mean, one thing I also realized, and maybe that was the one thing I could have done a bit better in my past, is how to keep connections to maybe more national research communities, or to your local research community. Sort of you can build up a very nice and giving international network, but sometimes, depending also where you want to, whether you want to go back to your home country, or whether you decided a certain country to go to, it's also very important then to keep in mind that there's always also kind of a national community, a kind of more local community, and to get into touch with them or keep a connection is something that is harder the longer you are abroad, that you have to be very clear about it. So one way to go about, for example, I just chose then to spend a week at least, I mean, go back and then really sort of try to contact different places to visit them, and then to be about a week or so around to already sort of show your face, and then even to take up another shorter position in the country to be able to establish yourself, maybe being only another short postdoc, but then it helps you to be there and to go to some local meetings to show your face, and then it will become easier once you're establishing yourself there. So because it's a kind of relatively small number of people who are in community in science, it's also this personal aspect. I think it's always important, and to keep that in mind is important when you're going out. 1 or 2 years is fine, but then if it's longer than that, well, people forget and move on. You could be brutal like that. Yeah.
So there's something about making sure that you remain visible in the place that perhaps you might like to come back to.
The keeping up connections, either going back to continuing to go to national meetings of your local kind of science community. So often there are some societies that run these, or once you know better, okay, you want to move like within a year or so, to start reaching out to some supervisors or professors in the area where you plan to go to, or your former supervisors, if that works. So re-establishing these connections is very important then.